Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. I spoke from this last week, and I want to reference it again tonight, the Lord willing. And I'll speak for just a few moments, and we'll have some prayer requests before we leave the service tonight. Romans 8, 28. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. I said last week this is sort of a family secret that we know. So I want you to say these words with me before we read the passage. We know. Say it again.
We know.
Three times in the book of Romans it says, we know. I went to the concordance today, just in my own Bible, not an official concordance, and just looked up the word know. You'd be amazed how many times the word know is found in the Word of God. You get over to 1 John, I think I mentioned last week. I think it's 36 or 37 times in five chapters the word know or knoweth is mentioned. God wants us to know some things, does He not? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, I think He's saying that respectfully and reverently to us. He says, don't be ignorant. He said, you need to know some things and get a hold of some things because you're going to need it. And so this is one of the high peaks to me in the Bible, Romans 8:28. I mentioned last week I have three favorite verses, Philippians 4:13, Isaiah 40:31, and Romans 8:28. How many of you have a favorite verse? Would you raise your hand, please? How many has changed your verse over the years? Okay, how many's got more than one favorite verse? How many just signs, when you sign somebody's Bible, you know, people do that, like somebody come by and get Brother Rudolph's signature to have him sign their Bible. And they'll put a favorite verse of scripture. One preacher, he just puts the Bible. I like it all, you know, I like it all. But there are some verses that are more precious than others. And this is one of those, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And who are called, the called according to His purpose. Now we can't claim the first part unless we do the second part. And too often, folks trying to put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. And they think, well, no matter what happens to me, it all works out for my good and His glory. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Unless you love God, you can't apply the verse. Now, He can use some things that's tragic in your life, as we talked about last week. And we talked about a while ago to get your attention. But the fact is, to claim the verse, you got to love God, and that doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean that you're always on topside, and you not got to know what your purpose for life is. And the more you realize why God called you and what God says about loving Him, you know the greatest commandment in the world is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. You know what the greatest sin in the world is? Not loving God. Ain't that pretty simple? And He says the second is likened to that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. You got any neighbors you just despise? You know, neighbors can really test you sometimes. Anybody got any? No, not raise your hand. They may be listening to the live stream tonight. But sometimes folks can just bug the daylights out of you. How many's got anybody that really is you just don't like? I mean, there's some people you just don't like. Would you raise your hand? Now, be honest about it. And then we ought to love our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Say all manner of evil against us falsely. For His sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Wow. And I've said this before. I wish some of that stuff wasn't in the Bible. I mean, if I was God, I'd leave it out. But He puts it in. He says, you've got to start vertically by loving me. The Ten Commandments, the first four, are directed vertically to God. You can't do the last six unless you do the first four. And you love God with all your heart and soul, mind. And you get to Deuteronomy. He says, I want you to put it right up here. Those Jewish folks would put a little box and they put the scripture in there. Put it right here on your wrist. Every day of your life, I want you to know you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the danger is that we get to claiming promises because we want a fix. Now, God can fix any problem. But sometimes He thinks allows things to happen in your life just to get you right with God. Amen. And sometimes you're claiming a verse and you don't even love Him. Now, he can bring it to your mind and to your heart to help you to learn it and to get back where you ought to be. And in essence, you can start loving God. But I'm going to ask you a question, then we're going to pray. And don't raise your hand. Have you said one time today, Lord, I love you?
Amen.
Have you said it? You say, well, I sort of forgot it. Why would you forget it? Why would I forget it? We're human, we're frail, and sometimes we don't do all we're supposed to do. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Or were you a practical atheist? I believe there is a God, but I'm going to live as though there is no God. You can't untie your shoes or put your shoes on or it not for God. Yes or no?
Yes.
I am dependent upon Him and so are you. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are called according to His purpose. And the purpose is given to us in verse 29. We'll look at it in just a moment. Father, thank you for these moments we can have together. And Lord, maybe just share a truth or two for just a few moments and then we'll have some prayer time. I pray, God, you'll just minister grace to our life. I sure need help. Lord, I realize the older I get, how frail I am. I realize how much I am dependent upon Thee. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that the closer we get to You, I want to be humble. And yet, Lord, sometimes my pride gets in the way. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I am nothing. I have nothing. I never will be anything apart from the grace of Almighty God. And Paul said it well, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's it. So Father, help us to love you supremely. Forgive us when we fail you in the love life. And Lord, may your will be accomplished and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Suffering and pain, sunshine and rain, good and bad times, sweet and sorrowful times, sinful and satanic things, simple things, sublime things, all things. Let me read something to you. See if you agree with the author. One woman said to another man, I got married. He said, that's wonderful. She said, but my husband is not very good looking. Oh, he said, that's too bad. She said, but he is very rich. Oh, he said, well, that's good. But he's very stingy. Oh, that's bad. But he built us a great big house. Well, oh, that's good, he said. But it burned down. Oh, that's bad. She said, oh. He said, the man said, that's bad. And she said, no, that's good. He was in it. So I guess you've got to look at circumstances through different eyes. Who was it last week talked about being on top of the circumstances or under the circumstances? I think somebody was testifying about that. And John R. Rice, the old sword of the Lord man and preacher for years, said, well, how are you doing today? He said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? What are you doing under there? You're not supposed to be under the circumstances. Now, you know what he's talking about, don't you? And you understand that from a human standpoint. There's probably nobody in this room who has not said that sometime along the way. Well, I'm doing pretty good considering. Considering what? Well, I'm doing pretty good considering what I'm going through. What are you going through? Well, you got an hour, I'll tell you. And then you start telling all the things you're going through in your life. And then you come right back down to the Bible that we know that all things work together for good. I like to get that ingrained in the fabric of my soul. And so whatever you face, we know. Lord, I want to love you. No, I don't love you enough. I want to love you. And Lord, I want to fulfill the purpose. And the purpose is you've been predestined, verse 29, to become conformed to the image of His Son. Remember, we're supposed to know Him and to be like Him. That's our goal in life. What's the purpose for my life? What's the purpose for your life? Glorify God, be like Him. That's it. That's it. Don't you think that's pretty simple? God didn't make it complicated. We make it complicated. And sometimes we think the more we do, the harder we work at it, the more we please God. I think you ought to work, yes. And faith without works is dead. But you don't earn brownie points with God because you work. You don't earn brownie points for God. You work because you love Him. Because you want to. And whether He pats you on the back or gives you any accolades, He said, there's coming a day when I come and my reward shall be with me. And I will give every man according to the deeds done in the flesh. So the rewarding day is coming. We stand before what is called the giant bema seat. That's when Jesus Christ sits on the judging stand and judges all of us for what we did as a Christian. Not for our salvation, but for our rewards in heaven. And somebody says, well, I don't want it just as long as I get there. Well, you're missing the whole reason for your purpose. See, you're messing it up. Don't quit messing it up. See, you're messing it up. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the purpose for my life, so I can bring glory and honor to God in this life. So when I get to heaven, I'll receive a reward for doing what He told me to do. You know why I want to do what He told me to do? Are you ready? This simple. Because I love Him. See, if I love Him, I want to do what He says. I think one of the greatest joys of a parent is when a child does something because they love you, not because they have to. Now, I know my son's a grown man. It was an illustration years ago. But he didn't listen to me all the time. But I remember the time we'd always have devotions. And then Andrew would go up the steps to his bedroom. Devotions were exciting. Sometimes he'd play his guitar. He played a guitar about like I could play guitar. You know what I mean? And he'd sing a song, and we'd sing a song and have prayer together. There in the living room before he went up to bed. And I'd always say, I love you, buddy. And then he would turn around and say, I love you, Daddy. But the greatest joy in my life is when he said it first, before I said it. I love you, Daddy. Boy, now you don't know what that does for a parent when you have your child. And even though I guess he meant it, I hope he did. Maybe he was trying to get something out of me, I don't know. I remember sometimes when he'd come and say, Dad, I need to talk to you. When he was a teenager. I said, okay, what's up? He said, well, you know, just want to come by and chat with you. I said, okay, well, what you need? Yeah. Well, yeah, spit it out, son. What do you need? Yeah. What he needed was $5, what he wanted, but he would hesitate to ask. You know, a parent would love to give their child $5 if they thought they needed it, not just to go out and blow it. But one of the great joys of a father is to give gifts unto his children. Not because they're asking for it, but because you want to do it. Yeah. I've traveled a lot in my life. I've always picked up a gift, no matter where I was at in the world, to bring back to Andrew and Nancy. You know, I got some perfume when I was in Jerusalem years ago. It was some of the best smelling perfume I ever put a nose on. And I put it in my suitcase with my Bible. Do you know what happened to that perfume when it got up so high? When I got it and opened it up, my Bible was blue ink all over everywhere, and the perfume was gone. So I gave Nancy an empty bottle. Remember, it's a thought that counts. But you want to do something to show your love. It may be just a little gift, you know, whatever it may be, to express yourself, not because they're asking you for it. You know, when you're a parent again, sometimes you come home and you've been on a trip, and it used to be, what'd you get me, Dad? Ever heard that? What'd you get me? And what's the joy of doing this? I didn't get you a thing. Oh, Dad. Yep, didn't get you a thing. All you get is me. Now come here and give me a hug. I'm home. Well, whether he wanted to or not, he gave me a hug and embraced me. And I said, I love you. And sheepishly, he's wondering, is he still going to give me a gift? You know, somewhere in there's a selfish motive in all of us. But if we give gifts to our children, how much more does the Holy Ghost of God, how does God give gifts of the Holy Ghost to us that love Him? As we love Him and serve Him, God wants to give us unusual things. I mean, unusual in the sense of things that we don't deserve, just blessings of God. And He sure has blessed us, hasn't He? Amen. How many of you have been blessed of God? Amen? How many has been doubly blessed? Well, praise the Lord. It'll keep you from grumbling. I have to write it down in a journal every day. Help me not to grumble nor complain. You say, why do you got to write it down? So I know what I wrote down. I got to read it. Now I can say it, but something about writing things down for me reinforces it in my mind. So I'm typing along, Lord, help me not to grumble nor complain today. Help me to cross the path of those that you would cross if you were here today. Help me to say the words that you would say if you were here today. Lord, I'm supposed to represent you. May I represent you well. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get busy in life and don't do what I'm supposed to do. But I think every one of us every day of our life need to remember that God loves us. And all he's asking when he made Adam and Eve, I want somebody to love me because they want to, not because they have to. That's why he made them with a free will. See, so you can, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it goes back again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, I know there's degrees of love, or at least there's levels of love. I was thinking about it the other day about puppy love. You remember when a child sometimes comes to you and they're just a young person, just preteen, or maybe just got into teenage year, and they come and say, boy, I'm in love. And you have a tendency to say, well, that's just puppy love. Let me tell you something about puppies. Puppy love is love. It's still love. And if you demean it to make fun of it, you're crushing the growing process of maturing love. It starts off with puppy love. And even loving God doesn't start off way up here. It's a progressing thing of just loving God a little more. And the more, what I find, and I may be wrong in my theology, but the more I know about him, the more I love him. And the more you read the Bible and see the greatness of God, the more that you love him. I think it'd be good maybe sometime on a Wednesday night just for folks to stand and share how they remind themselves or how they do their devotional life without divulging everything that's in your devotional life. I'm talking about your prayer requests. This year, I started something different in January, and I sang a song to start with. I had some of the most beautiful music ever come out of mortal lips, comes out of my lips every morning. Nancy, sometimes she's in the other room. I'm back in the study. I try to be in study every morning at the same time. I get dressed in the other bedroom. I put on what I have to. I put on my suit. I go by the kitchen, get a cup of coffee. I end up at the study, and I'm there at the same time every morning. Like you guys going to work, I try to report for duty. And so I'm there, and the first thing I do, I take a hymn book and I sing a song. And boy, I'll tell you what, some of the songs, I don't even know. And I make up some of the most beautiful tunes that you've ever heard. Somebody said, well, that's not the way that song goes. Well, that's the way I want it to go. I'm singing it, so don't worry about it. And then to go to the Bible, and in my journal, I have a page for a week, and it's alphabetically. The first word that's here was Almighty. So at the top of the page, I put the word Almighty in parentheses. And then I look up scriptures on Sword Searcher, and I print them off. They take a pair of scissors, and I cut them. And I lay about 10 verses about Almighty God for that first week on that page and read it every day. And then I'll take a highlighter, and I'll highlight a word or two, or I'll take a pencil and write a note beside it. And so then the second word was beauty. And right through the alphabet today is holiness this week, just the holiness of God. And I got stumped on something about over there when the bales are on the horses, the beauty of holiness. And I'm trying to figure out what that means. Will you pray for me that I'll find out what he's talking about? I think it's in Zephaniah. But anyhow, just praying, seeing who God is. I'm just trying to find some way to help me. Could I help you? Could you help me? See, we're in this thing together, and if I can pick up an idea from somebody that they do in their devotion that helps them, you say, well, I don't want to copy anybody. There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with learning from somebody else how to do something. And much of what I have learned over my lifetime or our learning, I've learned from other men of God and even women of God in their writings of what they did and how they approached God. And I'm not an expert at it, for God knows my heart. One of the greatest things in my life, and I want it to be better, is when you enter into the secret place of the Most High, of the shadow of the Almighty, Psalms 91. Probably written by Moses. But he says, you know, as you come to the secret place, and how many times when I've done that, and say, Lord, I want to come into your secret place today and talk to you well. And in my mind, I know he doesn't speak audibly, he said, I've been waiting on you. I had an audience with the King this morning.
Amen.
You say, well, big deal. Well, can I just say, yeah, big deal. I didn't have an audience with President Trump nor Nancy Pelosi. But I had an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And the Creator of all creation, God, wants to talk to us. I just need Him tonight. Pray for me, would you? You know, as you live your life and you look back at all the mistakes you made and all the things you wish you'd have got, that's why God doesn't reveal it all to you when you're young, because it's the process that makes you. You don't grow up physically. You know, when I was born, I weighed 8 pounds and I think 7 ounces. And, you know, once I was born, I started talking and walking the next day. It take me long to talk and walk. And then I began to play ball when I was a year old and played professional ball when I was 10. Things have to develop. Physical maturity does not happen overnight, and neither does spiritual maturity. So the whole goal of the Christian life, as we teach and preach and love each other, go to church and read the Bible, is shooting for that goal of being conformed, fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be like Him. And boy, I've come up so short. How about you? And sometimes when you realize how short you come, say, Lord, I gotta dig a little deeper and stay a little longer. But the promise is given to us, and this precious verse is truth. Truth will set you what? Free. It's desperately needed for Christian people to chew on Romans 8:28. Get it into the fabric of your mind and soul and say, I'm going to believe what God says, because this is a promise from eternal God. And God cannot lie. Is that true? Now, if that be true, and it is true, all of our perils, all of our problems, all of our perplexities, as we live the Christian life, come from Him. Or at least He permits them to come. Now, God does not afflict His children just to afflict them. He allows things to happen. But God loves us. I don't want my children to suffer. How about you? Do you like to beat up your children? I thought my daddy loved me so much. He said, this loves me more than it does. It hurts me more than it does you, son, when I whip you. And I said, well, I'm going to figure that one out. But the fact is, nobody likes to beat up on their children. God don't stand around beating you up. But He will lovingly chasten you. And there's a big difference between those two. And sometimes you think you're getting beat up by God, but He loves us. And so He can take the burdens of life and turn them into a blessing.
Amen.
Only God in heaven can do that. Right, Brian? Brian shared a testimony this a while ago before church about it. Only God can do those things. You look back in hindsight, and when you was going through it, you say, wow, man, when is this going to pass? What in the world? And you go through it, and you look back, and you say, boy, I sure am glad God saw me through that. And this is what God did for me. And when the greatest lessons of my life have been learned in the valley, not on the mountaintop. I love to come to the mountaintop and shout, amen?
Amen.
Mount Transfiguration, this is good to be here. And then Jesus says, I want you to get back down the valley. There's somebody demon-possessed who needs your help. Get out of the shouting mode, Peter, James, and John. I'm glad you're up here to see one of the greatest miracles of all. You're seeing the transfiguration of the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in His glorified state. You're seeing it. But He says, I don't want you to forget those down in the valley. Because you're not here just to see the mountaintop. You might get a glimpse every once in a while. Take the mountaintop of Romans 8:28. Walk up the mountain. Get to the top of it and look over the peak of Romans 8:28. And then say, Lord, now apply it to my life down in the valley. Because that's where you live your life at. Remember, that's where the big trees grow. It's down in the valley. And so it is. A.W. Tozer said it this way. To the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. He travels an appointed way. And there is a secret script of God's hidden providence. Let me say that one more time. To the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. He travels an appointed way, and there is a secret script of God's hidden providence. The reality is, and it's been said, Brother Rudolph said it the other day, others have said it repeatedly, I've mentioned it a few times, bad things happen. They just happen. I mean, they're unpredictable in the frequency that they come. You ever gone a while and nothing really bad happens? You're going along, boy, I'll tell you what, man, this is great. Everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like the whole bottom just falls out of your world. Said, cheer up, it could be worse. And I cheered up. Sure enough, it got worse. And sometimes you wonder, what in the world is this life all about? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? That's good preaching, you know. But it's not easy practicing. It's easy to, I'm going to give you some verses, just parts of verses before I stop here in just a minute. And I want you to get a hold of them before we leave tonight. But it varies sometimes in the length or the longevity of it. Some may last for just a day. Some may last for days or years. Some may go through suffering that wonder, what in the world has God allowed them to have to go through that for? And we don't know the future. Don't know what God's up to. But some of the best blessings I ever got is through suffering of other people. To see what they go through and still some way through it all, they come out on top and say, I'm trusting the Lord. Hurt? Sure they hurt. I saw Mrs. Bass today. She's not used to being down like she is. She said, preacher, I'm just hurting all over. And she said, I just pray for me. And she says, I love you and I'd like to be at church. I can't never come probably. But here's a lady that has been used to sort of getting around fairly well, who now is flat on her back. And she says, preacher, I just hurt all over. Pray for me. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, if I'm hurting sometime, I don't mind telling you, I'm hurting. Just pray for me. Sometimes, you know, we need to request the prayer of other folks. That's important, to pray for each other. And we don't know the mind of God and what God's got in store. Somebody said their favorite verse of Scripture was, and it came to pass. Well, it didn't come to stay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through. And that valley is just not physical death. There's places over there in the Mideast, and especially around Jerusalem, that are very dangerous. And they're like going through valleys. And there's enemies waiting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And remember, there can't be a shadow unless there's a light. And Jesus is the light of my salvation. He not only is my shepherd, he's the light of my life and my salvation. It makes a tremendous difference. It's not something that's magic or hocus pocus. I have trouble saying those deep words. It's not magic or pulling a rabbit out of a hat. You know, some folks live their life in a magical world, just like it's going to be a magical thing. One day, God's just going to pull the rabbit out of the hat. Well, he may let that rabbit die. That rabbit may not get out of that hat. Or you say, well, I ain't going to trust him if he don't bring the rabbit out of the hat. Well, who are you to tell God what to do? Who am I to say he can't kill the rabbit? Now, if you want to carry the rabbit's foot around with you, I guess you could. Superstitious. Got to have a rabbit's foot in my hand. How many of you ever had a rabbit's foot when you was a kid? Isn't it amazing how we did that? How many of you were afraid of black cats? Wouldn't go under a ladder. Got a four-leaf clover and all that stuff. See what I got in my hand right now. I carry these two coins right here. I've carried them for months. I go through moods sometimes. Sometimes I give them away. There's two coins I carry in my pocket. They're for good luck. Just want to see if you're listening, all right? You know what this says? But they that wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. You know what this one says? But they that wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40. You know what both of them says? Waiting on, every time I put on my pants and reach in my pocket, I don't have any money. If you'd give me some, I'd appreciate it. But I got these. And you say, what'd that do? Just sort of reminds me one more time of the greatness of God. I love eagles. I just love them. And I saw one on Facebook. Man, it was one of the most beautiful eagles I've seen in a long time on a picture. I don't know who sent it. Maybe some of y'all, but it was a beautiful shot of just an eagle. And every time I see it, it reminds me of that verse of Scripture in Isaiah 40:31. Every single circumstance will sooner or later turn out well for those who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge will change your attitude, and your attitude will change your action, and your action will change your altitude. You go from the attitude to the altitude. If you want to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus and not in the muddy grumps down here all the time, you've got to come to knowledge of God. And the more you come to knowledge of God, it's sort of, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you. Thanks for loving me. And he says, I'm going to teach you something else. And about the time you learn this truth and you get this and sort of digest it, boy, this is great. Boy, this is wonderful. And then it seemed like you're down again, going through something else over and over again. I don't know what the Lord has in store for your life. I don't know what he has in store for my life. But I do believe that God gave a guarantee in the Bible. Now listen to me very carefully. I'll give you these verses and we'll pray. When God says something, he means it. Yes or no? God has given a promise in his eternal word of Romans 8:28. Yes or no? Now, if he's given it, my responsibility is to believe it. Standing on the promises of God. But my problem is my flesh recoils and doesn't want to believe God. And sometimes I pray, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I don't think that's wrong to pray. It's in the Bible. But there's times, sometimes, when our faith is weak. And the only way that faith can be stronger, it has to be tested. And when it's tested, it can come forth as pure gold. But it's always the faith that's got to be tested. And there's nobody in the Bible that was not tested. And I was reading that verse of scripture this morning. There is no temptation taken you, but such common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not have you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with every temptation also make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so the testing trials come. But I want to close with this tonight. With every tragedy, every trial, every teardrop, every burden, every problem, all things work together for your good, his glory. Now let me give the verses to you. You can tell me where they're at. Fret not. Anybody know what book of the Bible is found in? Psalms number 37, twice. Fret not. It's other places, probably the Bible too. Rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Look up the word joy and rejoice sometime. Be not anxious, Philippians 4:6. Just don't be anxious. Don't worry about a lot of things. And boy, I'd like to plug that one in, wouldn't you? In everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give what? All things work together for good, yes? Then in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You say, preacher, it's hard to give thanks, somebody. You know, tragedy happens. You're not thanking God for the tragedy. You're thanking God for God, that he is there in the midst of the tragedy. And whatever we're going to learn from the tragedy, help me to learn it. Boy, that's tough. That's lessons. I'm just talking about maturity, 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 maturity. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 100:2. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. If you don't enjoy it, hey, expect somebody else to enjoy it. I'll tell you what, I'm having the roughest time of my life. I'll tell you what I think. I just eat worms and die. Folks, listen, we are a testimony to the Lord. And even when you're suffering, sometimes a smile. I want to say my good friend, Brother Wright, Nelson Wright, had heart surgery this week and went home today. And he was sitting there in the chair, sort of hurting. And he said, I didn't realize it was going to be as bad as it was. He said, when I come in to have the bypasses, I had a stroke. And he said, they grabbed that, what do they call that, gurney or whatever it is. And he said, they took off flying down that hall. And he said, I didn't know where I was going. I'm flying down the hall heading to somewhere because I had a stroke and he's trying to remedy that as well as deal with the heart condition I had. But he sat there and he said, the Lord sure is good. And he sure is good. And he said, I've been feeling pretty good. Could go home and may got a long recoup time maybe, but I'm just grateful that God has been so. I hear it. Don't you hear a lot from people? Isn't that good that people can say, God's been good to me in spite of all their trials and troubles and heartaches and pain and tears and just troubles? The Lord's been mighty good to me. Come before him with thanksgiving and gladness. rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon him. Psalm 37 again. And then let not your hearts be troubled. You ever heard that? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. See, in my Father's house, everything's all right. Everything's all right. You just trust me. And when the trouble comes, remember the wonderful peace that he can give in the midst of your trouble. I just need to be reminded of that. I'll close with this. Somebody said, heartaches are changed to hallelujahs. Why stay depressed? Good question. And you know, if you've looked at the word stressed, spelt backwards is what? Stressed, spelt backwards is desserts. I love chocolate. I was over to Mooresville, took some business a while ago, and I stopped by Bucko's, who helped feed us the other night. And the black man there named David, I think it's David. I believe it was David, yeah. He said, how'd you like that banana pudding I made for you the other night? I said, what do you think I'm here today for? I said, I've determined every day I'm coming by and you've got to have banana pudding for me. It's soft and sweet and good. But I love banana pudding. I just love stuff. But when I get stressed, sometimes it don't feel like dessert. It feels like I'm in the fire being cooked. You know what I mean? But thank God for Romans 8:28. Thank God for Romans 8:28.